Hello, and welcome to Pop a la Carte, episode number 37. This week, we're talking The Incredibles 2 trailer, K-dramas, Netflix, miniseries, all that fun, and Rampage and A Quiet Place.
Yes.
And then maybe any other movies we can think of that we talked about, or we saw this week. I'm Valerie.
I'm Tatiana.
And I'm Angela.
So we're going to start with the Incredibles 2 trailer, which I still feel bad that, like, it was as I was writing the story that I really realized that I'm like, I think I saw the first movie once, and I don't remember it.
Yeah.
I vaguely remember. I know it's a really good Fantastic Four movie. Mm-hmm. It's the best Fantastic Four movie that's been out. I know that, but that's all I actually remember about it,
really. I've also only seen it once, when it was in theaters. And I remember it very vividly because I had just had a huge fight with my boyfriend before it, and then we had to sit there in the movie watching it.
Oh, no. It was awkward.
But so I focused intently on the movie, and thus I remember.
And maybe
it.
This is why you didn't see it again.
Yes. But it is a very good movie, so I'm excited they're finally doing a sequel.
I know, but you see all these things on Tumblr all the time where people are like, "We waited so long. Don't bring your kids to this. This isn't for them." And I'm like, I didn't wait. That
yeah, that's ridiculous.
I feel bad. I know.
Like, I feel like it's for kids also. Like,
go to a 12 o'clock showing at p.m.
There you go.
Or a.m., I mean.
A.m., right.
That's when you can expect not to have kids there. Because if people bring kids to the 12 a.m. showing, fuck them.
How many times have you seen Incredibles, Angela?
I don't think that many more times. Maybe only a couple. It does look like it takes place immediately after the end of the last one.
I think it's supposed to. I mean, that's the good thing about animation. You don't have to worry about the fact that people have aged.
Yeah, because the kids don't look that much older, and obviously they just had a baby, so.
And that was the whole point, is that, you know, he hadn't shown powers, and then all of a sudden he was.
Right.
And it doesn't, like, I mean, what little they show you in the trailer, it doesn't look like Elastigirl is really aware of him having powers so much.
Right, so it's, yeah, he's probably going to have to tell his wife.
Yeah. By the way.
No, that was the ending. That was the very ending of The Incredibles.
Yeah, I know. I remember that him getting powers, but did they all see him? I can't remember. I need to watch the movie.
Yeah, they even had a little, the very ending, they even had a little outfit for him. Because they were, like, out of town, and then the mole guy came up, and then they were like, let's go fight him, and they even had, like, a little mask for the baby.
Oh, okay, so then they already know. They already know his powers.
I think they know he has
just
powers.
Not how many
but I don't
he
think,
has,
which apparently he has a lot of powers. And maybe they're a little bit more extreme than expected.
Yeah. And volatile as a baby, right? Which makes you wonder, like, what was his siblings like as a baby?
Well, and
what were...
That was one of my favorite Incredibles memes that you see every once in a while, where it's the fact that they're like, oh, no, we don't think he has powers. And it's like, he's how old? Which means the other two children were showing powers by that age.
Right.
Which means... What's-her-face was already disappearing at that age, which obviously he is, too. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, what did you do? Your baby just disappeared and you couldn't find, like...
Yeah.
I guess under those circumstances, maybe Jack-Jack disappearing like that isn't as extreme because, well, they've already gone through that.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean it's any easier to deal when your child just vanishes in front of you and you don't know where... He also floats or can fly?
Yeah.
I guess.
Don't know. It seems a little bit... You know.
He does everything, apparently.
He does everything. All-purpose baby.
He is going to be very, very powerful as a baby.
Now I want to see the much more future Incredibles movie where he's, like, ultra-powerful and, like, what that means and, like, what kind of a hero does he or doesn't he become.
Or a villain.
Jack-Jack the villain. Have the entire family fighting him. And the parents get all old and they can't deal with it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see them as grandparents dealing with their grandchildren who also have powers that just keep getting worse.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to assume they just keep getting worse. Yeah. I don't know. It looks really cute.
Yeah.
I do like that she's the one that goes, Elastigirl is the one that's going out and promoting supers.
Mm-hmm.
But, and we have a stay-at-home dad.
My only concern is that it is going to turn into that stereotype of, or the trope of, like, he's the stay-at-home dad, but, like, oh, look, he's so goofy at it. Oh, look, he's so, like, isn't it hilarious watching this guy try to raise the children when you wouldn't. If you wouldn't think it would be funny to watch her do the same thing, then there's, like, inherent, like, sexism in that premise. And there is, even when he's like, don't worry, honey, I'll watch the kids. Like, well, they're your kids.
Yeah, why wouldn't you? You're going to hire a babysitter so you can go go off and do your own thing?
I hope that there is, like, a learning curve for it, and that they make it more about the extreme amount of power he has, like we were saying.
Yeah. You know?
So they can say something like, oh, it wasn't like this with other children's names who I have forgotten.
And that is the thing, like, yeah, it could be really, I mean, I wouldn't, with even three normal children, like, everybody that I've talked to who has three or more, most of the people that I know who have more than three, say three was the hardest, actually, more than, like, even more, because, like, usually you have three at all young age, but when you start having more, then you have, like, older kids, which I guess is the case for this one, but also just, like, you sort of reach a point of no return, and you just don't.
Right.
Like, it's just different, the dam breaks or something, but, I mean, I would be that frazzled if I had three normal children, let alone a crazy superpowered baby that disappears and sets on fire, and...
I do appreciate that they're addressing the absolute ridiculousness of, we changed math. Why is there new math? I have not understood that. And I was like, yes, I agree with you. Why is there, math is math. Why are we just, I've never had a math teacher try and explain to me.
Yeah.
The new math. I've looked at the problems and been like, what? How did you?
I don't really, is it like shortcuts? Like, is it like a different method of solving the problem?
Yes.
In order to.
Yes.
To why? What is the reason?
I think it's supposed to be faster, maybe? Uh-huh.
I mean, I never understood why you have to... Like, why do they care how you got to the answer?
Yes.
I mean, I guess maybe to show that you didn't cheat.
Right.
But
yeah, to make sure... I guess to make sure it's the right answer, right? Because if you got to the answer by cheating, then when you have the actual math problem that has never happened to me, but I guess if you're an architect or whatever, then you have to have actual math. Some jobs require actual math.
Yeah.
Then, and your graphing calculator breaks. Now you actually have to solve the problem.
But as long as you can get to it. Like, I mean, I learned to tie my shoes with the two bunny ears, and everybody else learned to do it with the hoop. I don't know. I can't do it the other way. But my shoes get tied.
Yeah.
So, and I was never graded on how I tied my shoes as long as my shoes were tied. So, what does it matter?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I was
thinking I'd be okay for elementary school math, but now I'm like, oh no. Like, shit.
You're going to have to learn new math. That's true. Ha ha ha. No. I'm not going to have that problem.
I'll let the engineer do it. He can figure it out.
There you go.
That's his job. You can help with the English lessons.
Yeah, precisely.
You can help with the grammar. Anyway, we completely got off track. But,
I assume all the voice actors are the same as the original movie, but...
I think so. I think the kids can't be.
Well, because it would sound very different, but they sound old already, so I don't know.
Well, because, like, I saw a picture of the one... I don't really know any of their names.
Right.
I mean, unless they were always voice acted by adults.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I saw pictures of them, and I know the middle child, the boy, the person playing him now looks like a kid, so
probably
the movie
not
was
14 same.
Years ago.
Yeah, not the same.
So probably not the same kid.
Because most of them are not, were not recognizable to me.
Yeah.
Like, the only one that I obviously can recognize is Samuel L. Jackson, Frozone.
Which is funny, because I listened to it the first time, and I was like, that is Sam Jackson, right? Like, it didn't sound like him for a second.
Right.
To me. It was really funny.
Yeah.
Who does the voice of his wife? His wife's awesome.
That's a great question, but she only had, like...
The wife? I wonder if she'll get to be on screen this time.
I heard that she was going to be, but maybe that was just wishful thinking. I hope she is.
It's kind of funny that she's not, though.
Yeah. I mean, it is, like, they obviously included that scene in the trailer because that's, like, the most memeable thing from Incredibles. Everyone remembers the honey, where is my super suit? And then, I am your wife. I am the greatest good you will ever get. But I have no idea who voices her or if we'll see her.
I don't know. She's great, though.
Oh, Honey. Kimberly Adair Clark. Honey. I assume Honey is her.
Yeah. It's gotta be.
Yes.
Yeah. She doesn't get an actual name.
Wow.
Because her name is never said.
Yep. Wow.
No, I think it's fun if she's just kind of always on screen, yelling in the background. I don't know, it's funny.
It is a funny gag. That's true. It is a funny gag.
But yeah, going back to the, like, the dad, stay-at-home dad, I'm gonna guess, because it's Pixar, that they are using that, and then they're going to, you know, turn it on its head. Because they're usually pretty good about that. I mean, not that they're perfect, but they're better than a lot of, you know, if it was any other studio, I probably wouldn't have a lot of faith in that story, but because it's Pixar, it's like, I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly. exactly. I trust them. And it could just be the way the trailer's cut.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And the way the trailer's cut, it's entirely possible. Like, you see a lot of them just at home, but what people really want to see is them all using their powers and out fighting evil. You have to assume, to be honest, that trailer is maybe the first 20 minutes of the movie.
Right. And then,
for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, like, it barely introduces the villain, so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
All of his stress could be from how crazy Jack-Jack is, and that's totally legit, and that's not something that, like, Elastigirl dealt with.
Yeah.
Like, superpowered Jack-Jack, so, yeah. I'm sure it's fun.
And that'll be hilarious, and everybody will love watching that, just because that's gonna be fun. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Angela has some feels about K-dramas and Netflix that she is going to share with us now.
Yeah, Netflix has been, I mean, they've had K-dramas for a long time, but they started to get into the exclusive rights game, which means, like, they're the only ones that get, which is, like, I miss the golden days of K-drama, where you can just, like, watch them anywhere, but everybody wants their piece of the pie now,
yes.
And what they've been doing is, it doesn't affect me a lot, because I don't live watch, I wait until the show is over, because for me, I want the miniseries format, but, like, I can binge it. But they are not, if they buy exclusive rights to a K-drama, which means for usually for the rest of the world outside of Korea, although a lot of times it changes, like Netflix UK will have it, but Netflix US won't, and then some other countries will and some other countries won't, they don't release it until it is finished airing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and most people live watch, like most people like want to watch the two episodes that air that week.
Right.
So, and what's the most annoying about them doing that is they're not announcing when it's going to air. So most of the time, like, they have been, as soon as it wraps in Korea, like, it shows up on Netflix,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes it doesn't. And a good example is Age of Youth Season 2. Age of Youth was, I don't know how it did in Korea, but, like, internationally, it was an extremely popular drama and got a rare second season.
Mm-hmm.
And they bought the exclusive rights, and then it aired, and then it was, like, crickets still.
Yeah, and it was, like, well, it was, like, a year, right, or almost a year since it had aired.
Well, no, it finished airing in October of this year, October.
So, like, 6 months.
6 months.
Yeah, it was on Netflix, UK right away, and some others, so, like, some parts of Netflix subscribers could get it, but not in the U.S., and the most annoying part was they never said, and then they never announced when they did drop it. Like, people noticed it finally dropped, like, in the past couple weeks.
Wow. I think.
And so there's a show that's airing right now that, like, at least English speaking K drama fandom is really excited about. Called Pretty Nuna Buys Me Food, or Something in the Rain, I think is the translation, because Nuna doesn't translate very well.
Pretty older lady.
And like sister, like, it's confusing. Like, yeah. It's so Something in the Rain, and it's, like, a highly anticipated team and a really highly anticipated cast, and Netflix has, first of all, Netflix has the rights. It wasn't clear that Netflix had the rights for a while, and then again, yeah, nobody, like, somebody had one rumor that it'll be on Netflix US at, like, the end of May, which would be about the time it would wrap, I think, but nobody's sure. And I'm like, Netflix, if you're gonna do this, which is, like, shitty, because this isn't how most people want to watch it, like, most people want to watch it every week. Like, if you're gonna do, the least you could do is, like, send out a press release about it. Like, go to Drama Beans or Soompi or somebody who, like, people are reading this and be like, hey, this show, because I think it's that uncertainty of it. Like, everybody was, are we ever gonna get Age of Youth too? We didn't know.
Yeah.
So right. I don't know why they are doing this. Like,
it's funny because they do that for their original programming, obviously, where it's kind of most of the time. I mean, you know, what, it was ages before we knew when The Punisher was going
right.
to drop last year.
But then they do actually give an announcement when it's finally
Yeah, time. Well, and then things that they've bought, like, I don't know, randomly, Dirk Gently, that was BBC America US, but I know, at least in the UK, it was on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew months before when it would be on Netflix in the UK, which was, when the season aired, at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's, why would you just not tell people that?
Yeah, it's like you don't want to sell, or like you don't want people to watch it.
What was the point of, because they don't care about ratings, they don't care?
But they do, because like they will cancel stuff
if
they don't get enough views. So obviously they do, maybe it's for, the other stuff is, like, kind of filler. Like, they're not paying as much for the stuff that they didn't produce.
Yeah.
So in that case, it doesn't matter. But, I don't know. I still think it's kind of weird.
Well, it's kind of like I think Sherlock is a good example for how the first couple seasons on PBS, they didn't air until like 6 months after they aired in the UK. And so everybody pirated it because nobody's going to wait, right?
Yeah, right.
And then they wised up and they would air it on PBS the same time it would air on the BBC. And I feel like that's a lesson Netflix should do. Like, most people that I know, if they don't live in a country where they can get it right now, they're pirating it.
Yeah,
they
and it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense for them to hold off. Because it's not like it benefits them in any way, I wouldn't think, you know? Like, they had...
Yeah.
They even have some shows it's only that they drop weekly, so...
It's only because, for the most part, they drop everything at the one time. Mm-hmm. And, well, and it's... If you at least told people that it will be there at the, you know, on the certain date, some people might wait. Mm-hmm. And then be like, oh, okay, you know what, I'd rather binge it anyway. But if you're not going to tell people, well then, yeah, most people are going to pirate it. Because they're just be like, well, I'm not waiting. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. we watch Endeavor, which it aired, what, 2 months ago now? A month and a half ago? And it's not on PBS until, what, August?
Oh, yeah.
It's the same thing. And, I mean, that's obviously nowhere near as big as Sherlock, but it's, you know, yeah, we have a sling box. We can watch it. I think it's still technically legal. That's not illegal, but I know people who are pirating it because, yeah, they're not going to wait
right
to download it, because why would they?
And yeah, and when I really like a series, I won't even wait for like fucking Vicky to finish subtitling it, so much less am I gonna wait for Netflix to put it on 6 months later. Like,
I think it is a matter of knowing your audience too, right?
Yeah
So like, they want to get into this game, they want to get into the game late in the game. So, like, they already, it's not like, it's people who are used to turning up and just watching whatever the latest British thing is on PBS or whatever. Like, this English-speaking American K-drama viewers already are used to, like, viewing things a certain way. So why would you come in and take some really, it'd be one thing if they were doing these middling dramas nobody cared about, but the past couple times they've been doing big ones. Like, why would you do that? Not give your audience what it wants. Like, come in late in the game, take something away from the audience and expect them to, like, interact with it in a different way.
Yeah, you can't really get mad at people for pirating under those circumstances.
Yeah, like, and you know what, maybe that's not what they're not used to. They want to drop a whole season at once, but that's fine. Then don't try to get in this game that works. Like, don't try to change the game to suit you.
Yeah,
like,
right.
You want to be in that game, you change yourself to suit the game. So, I don't know, but as long, I mean, I'm not, because I was really looking forward to watching that, I will wait till it airs. So if it goes up right after it airs, then I don't care, because that's always how I watch dramas. But I don't want to go through Age of Youth season 2 again. Where we didn't even know. That was the most annoying thing. You don't know if they're ever going to do it or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I remember we had been talking about that just a few weeks ago. We were like, I don't know how we're going to see Age of Youth season 2 or where it is or But yeah. And someone that I follow on Tumblr is definitely live blogging Pretty Nuna Who Buys Me Food right now. So obviously it is being watched by other people.
Yeah. Well, other countries have it right now. Like, it depends on where you live and, like, what the rights are for that. So that's some of it. But...
It is. It's always one of those things. It's like, in an age of instant gratification, where everybody wants what they want now. I mean, how many people don't wait until the West Coast airing of a show? They live stream it to watch the East Coast airing.
Yeah, and that's just 3 hours.
And, like, sometimes, you know, because we're so obsessed with this and we want everything right away, you could make the argument that, like, well, you're a very dedicated audience, but you're just a fraction of the general audience. But
right.
I don't think there's a lot of general audience K-drama viewers on Netflix.
Right. And also, like, they wouldn't know about it, right? Like, if they're a general audience, then they'd have to be, like, the general audience that just, like, surfs through the foreign stuff and it's like, oh, that foreign thing.
Yeah. Really.
And that's, seems like a very small...
Yeah,
percentage.
Matt just pointed out that, so, you know, BritBox launched last year. Their big thing was everything will be on the service within 24 hours of airing in the UK. And it's like, yes, you do something like that, people will usually wait. Not always. Doctor Who aired the same day, but 8 hours later, and people are downloading it. I can promise you that, because, sorry, they don't want, if they want the instant gratification. So how can you expect people to wait that long? I mean, we were talking, mostly joking, but actually considering flying to the UK next year for Avengers 4, because we didn't want to have to wait a week to see the film, worried we would get spoiled.
Mm-hmm.
now, because they've done it with Infinity War, I have they'll probably assume they're going to do it with Avengers 4, and so we're not going to have to. Waiting, you know what, that's... Okay, so if it's... Somewhere it's 24 hours in advance.
But yeah.
You can keep yourself away from things for 24
can
hours.
Can I?
Yeah, that's can true. Try not to get spoiled. If people aren't assholes, you can try not to get spoiled for 24 hours. But for a week or 6 months?
Yeah.
And there's not going to be enough general audience yet to make it worth it then. And I don't know.
But not everything in K-drama land is terrible. There is good news.
Although, you know what, Netflix could buy exclusive rights to this, and then that would be bad news. We don't know. Yeah, they are doing, there's going to be a Kalarian drama, Life on Mars remake. Do you want me to start? I have the plot synopsis.
Okay, go for it. Tell it to us.
It's a little bit different. So, Han Tae-ju leads a crime investigation team. He has experienced a rapid rise in his career and trusts data over people. While investigating a serial murder case, he has an accident. When Han Tae-ju wakes up, he finds himself in the winter of 1988. He does not know why, but he is now a detective appointed to work at a police station in a small city. To get back to the present day, Han Tae-ju tries to solve a serial murder case. And I will say, I'm going to say that the change in the time is because Korea was not really a modern democracy in the 70s. And 1988 was the year of their modern democracy, I think. So that's probably why it's, even though it's Life on Mars instead of Ash Dashes, that's probably why it's the late 80s rather than the 70s.
Yeah. Interesting. So, okay, I'm gonna say, my original, and my knee-jerk reactions are usually, okay, this could be awesome, but I'm gonna expect it to be terrible, because half the time any remake anyone ever does is bad, and Life on Mars is one of my favorite shows of all time. I think it may be one of the best done shows of all time. The British version. The American version, shit, I've never watched it. Huh. But I think I watched, like, the first episode and it was terrible. And I've heard the rest of it and it was awful. But that change, listening to that synopsis, it sounds different enough that it might be interesting?
And I'll say this for us. On OCN, which is network best known for crime dramas.
Uh-huh.
So it's not one of the big networks that usually does rom-coms or, like, mellows.
Uh-huh.
It's the director did another crime drama that I watched only for the lead actor, who was the lead actor in this, okay. Jung Kyung-ho. He definitely has the chops to do it. Like, he is fantastic. Those things, and then it's the same director as Heartless City, which was, like, a gang thriller kind of a thing, really well done storytelling. It would not surprise me. One of the many travesties of the American remake was that they took the metaphorical title literally.
Yeah.
And changed
it. Yes.
It would not surprise me if they keep the same twist as the British one, because I imagine actual Korean audiences, there's probably a very small overlap of actual Korean audiences who've seen the British Life on Mars.
So wait, in the American version it's actually Mars? Is that what it is?
Yes. But is it?
I don't know.
Because that's the thing. I don't want to. If you've never seen the British one.
Okay, no, I've never seen the British one.
Oh my god,
I obviously need to.
It is amazing, and I don't want to spoil what the ending is.
You know, we don't have to talk about what the twist is for the British one. In the American one, yeah, he's like in cryo on a pod on the way to Mars or something.
But
When
he goes to put his foot down on Mars, it's what, like his Converse that he actually wears in 1970 whatever.
Uh-huh.
So yeah. It's. But is it really that? And then the show was canceled, so... Because nobody was watching it.
Okay.
And they took it from... Okay, so the entire series, the British one,
mm-hmm.
is 16 episodes.
Okay. The entire series.
The entire series. Okay. The American one, 22-episode season.
Oh.
And it was like, no. It was the first show that I really sat and was like, okay, this is why we need to stop just making 22 episodes of everything.
Right.
And that's why I'm so happy with the way that American television is going now, because we're starting to look at and like, okay, can this story work for that? And that it was a BBC show, and the writers, you know, the first season was really popular. They hadn't finished because they hadn't told you what was going on. He wakes up in 1973 and he doesn't know what, like, you don't know what it is. And so they came back and they said, we can do 8 more episodes, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And the BBC said, okay. And so they finished the story. They did then do another series called Ashes to Ashes.
That's right. You told me about that.
Yes. And that was three seasons mm-hmm. of eight episodes each. That was a little harder because the character at first is the way that she's approaching her reality. It's really like annoying kind of, but then you end up loving her.
Okay.
It just took a little while at first just because the way she keeps being like my projections or whatever. And she uses air quotes all the time. You're like, stop. knew Sam.
Okay.
And so it is tied to it. And the way that it completed is, it's amazing.
Huh.
Is it really, like, and I'm not going to say how it does.
Yeah,
and how it relates to another show.
I'm going to watch it. It's going to happen.
Yes, you have to watch it. It's so good.
They're so good.
What I was going to say is, like, I've always, or I had heard, or I know, you know, however, that the reason that they do those 23 episode seasons or 22 episode seasons is for syndication. Because then eventually you make most of your money back once you've reached 100 episodes. But then I'm wondering, like, other places obviously don't have this issue, you know, obviously, like, the UK has the miniseries that you just talked, and K-dramas are all 16 episodes, so there has to be other ways to make your money back that isn't making 100 episodes.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of Korean TV shows that are 100-plus episodes. They're just not the K-dramas that we watch. But, there's the dailies, and there's the sitcoms, and those are all hundreds of episodes.
Yeah, but there are ones that exist that aren't like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like the UK.
And they don't, and a lot of times they don't have ads.
Yeah.
So
how are they making their money, and how can we do that?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard with the UK. You've obviously got the BBC, and that's a completely different animal. People are paying a licensing fee, which is basically like paying for HBO.
Right.
And they have a mandate that they have to, you know, do diverse content, but half the stuff, I mean, Endeavor, I love that show. It was 60 episodes this season, but I think it was only three or four before, and that's
it was
on...
how many episodes this season?
Six.
Oh, six. Okay, I definitely heard 60.
It was six, and it was only three or four before, and it's on ITV, which is a commercial-driven channel, and so there are, there's very few British television shows that I can think of that actually run that long, that aren't more like game shows
or soap
operas or whatever. I mean, they exist.
In Korea, they're playing for it with what? Subway? Product placement.
There you go.
And by not paying people?
Well, that's not good.
So
there's a huge controversy right now, and people are like, the stories that are getting famous are like famous actors who still haven't been paid. It's been years.
Whoa, wow.
And so then people are wondering how, like, what about the crew?
Yeah. Like,
you didn't pay this famous actor. How did you? I think, like, the girl, the actress, I forget her name, Ko Hae-sun, the one who was the lead in Boys Over Flowers.
Oh, yeah.
She got paid for that, but there's some other show that she did that she, like, it's been years and she hasn't gotten paid for, and it's all the stuff that's coming out now, so.
Okay, yeah, you know
what? Like, maybe they don't have it figured out.
Well, the
UK does.
Yeah, the UK's got it.
It's funny because, like, you mentioned product placement. I never understand why there isn't more of that, because I don't mind it if it's just there, if they're drinking a Coke.
Yeah.
It's when you do things like the Smallville episode where it was all about Stride gum. Remember that?
Yeah.
That's when it's awful.
Right.
And don't
even if it's
that.
Just a scene where, like, you get in the car and you're like, oh, how are we doing this? They're like, oh, my car has this. Done.
Yeah.
You know,
like,
all right,
I
cool.
can tell you that obviously the MCU have a deal with Audi.
Right.
Because Tony Stark is always driving an Audi, and no, Tony would not be driving an Audi, right? But it's fine. And then with Dr. Pepper, because there's always Dr. Pepper everywhere. But it doesn't bother me, because it's just kind of there. The Dr. Pepper I notice more than anything, because that's what my mother drinks. That's all she drinks, so I see Dr. Pepper shit everywhere. But for the most part, most people aren't going to notice that, because it's just like a car the truck exploded in the background or something.
It's a meme. It's a meme with English language K-drama now. We're like, we're going to buy you something delicious. Cut to Subway.
Right.
Every drama.
Yeah. It seems like certain American channels are moving a little bit more towards miniseries, so they're obviously figuring something out.
And not just HBO, which has been doing it for a long time, which is great, but it is nice to see, like, what AMC's doing it, and TNT.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think of what else. Even some of the network networks are.
Yeah, or at the very least, like, shortened seasons that they can promote as a miniseries. And then when it gets good ratings, they're like, another season for you. And if it doesn't, they're like, it was always meant to be a one
season. It was always a one-off. Yeah. That's your excuse. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just missed it when they used to do, the big networks all used to do miniseries, like, in May and June when... shows, so this was in the 90s, but I remember, like, I loved it because it was usually, like, fantasy. Like, there was an Odyssey one. There was one about fairies. It was probably terrible, but I was, like, 10.
Oh, that reminds me of, like, The Tenth Kingdom or something. I can't remember what it's called.
Oh, my God. You know what's hilarious about that show? My brother and I loved it. Like, we were obsessed with it. And then we were like, well, we wish they'd done more or, like, put it on DVD or something. And it finally came out on DVD, and we tried to watch it, and we were like,
this is terrible. This is so bad.
We were like, what were we I think we got there one episode. We were like, yeah, no. What were we thinking? Can't go back.
So I shouldn't be so nostalgic for all the old network miniseries, but it was, like, you know, it'd be interesting if they would try something like that rather than...
Yeah. Well, and so The Terror is on AMC right now. And that is, at least for now, a miniseries format. But when I did the press day for it, they definitely talked about if it's popular, which right now it is.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it seems to be doing really well. It could turn into an anthology series, kind of like American Horror Story. This season will conclude that story, and so the next season would have nothing to do with the HMS Terror. The Terror just works as a, you know, title. They're just going to do horror stories, I guess.
That's the one with the boat, right?
Yes.
Where they're stuck in the Arctic or something.
Yes, they're trying to find the Northwest Passage. It's the true story of the two ships that were lost in 1852, I think it was. 1840 something? I don't know. Anyway, somewhere in there. The only thing they haven't talked about is how they would do it. And it's like, I really like that as much as it's fantastic, like, and that it's based in history.
So it's some other historical.
I'm like, are you going to do Titanic. Something like that? There's something that breaks up the Titanic.
Yeah.
Somebody came down and took it apart.
Right.
There's
got to be other stories like that. Or
there's plenty
maybe
of
like
stories.
Miners. That are caved in.
Well, I mean, you could do something like what happened, Roanoke.
Right, yeah, Roanoke, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's a popular one, but that's the same kind of thing. You could easily do that kind of thing.
It would be a way to have it all, because it would be a series of multiple seasons, but each season would be, like, some contained story.
So if somebody doesn't like one really season, you can keep going.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I did also watch The Alienist, which has finished, and that was amazing. Except for the ending felt really lackluster.
Oh, really?
He was really good, and then it was just like, yeah, I mean, Matt turned to me at the end of it, and he's like, did that just kind of feel like it pooped out?
It gave up.
Yeah, it was not, it was really compelling until they get to the part where you find out. It reminded me of Riverdale with the Black Hood.
Oh, yeah, reveal.
Yeah, you were like, that's it? Mm-hmm. So
and that is one reason why I don't like watch K-dramas, because that happens a lot.
See.
Like, I'm gonna wait and see. I don't have to get a spoiler for the end, but you can tell.
Yeah, people liked it all the way
through. People
are
talking about it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, or then at least.
No, go ahead.
Just that way, at least if it's gonna do what I know going into it, and that helps. That's what I did with Jugglers. If I knew it was lackluster, then I was like, okay.
Oh no! I mean, I knew it was lackluster too, just because it sounded lackluster.
Yeah,
I was still watching.
I have friends who, like, when Orphan Black started and we were gushing about it, they were like, yeah, we're gonna wait till the end of that show and then you can tell us if it was still good. And then season 3 happened and we still haven't even watched season 5.
Oh, okay, yeah, I was gonna say, how did it end? Because I definitely gave up during season 3 too, yeah.
We watched season 4, we just didn't watch season 5.
That's actually where we are. We watched season 4, we like season 4, we just haven't
watched. Season 4 is a lot better than season 3. Season 3 was kind of terrible. I know a lot of people who didn't like it, though.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I don't know. People weren't happy with where it went. I thought it was entertaining, though. But obviously not enough that I was compelled to watch season 5.
Right. So that is why y'all need to make more miniseries so that we can watch all the way through and then have feelings on it as one complete set.
Well, and one thing I was thinking was... Okay, so if we're gonna have so many miniseries, isn't there only one category for it at the Emmys?
Yes.
It's just miniseries.
Or TV movie, right?
TV, two, or TV movie.
Yeah, they put them together.
Are we going to have to start splitting those up? Because it's weird the way they classify things for that. And it's basically whoever's submitting it. Like, American Horror Story goes into that category every
year. Which is ridiculous.
But does it count when it's an ongoing series? Yeah. But
and isn't it 13 episodes?
I think so,
yeah. So other TV shows go as just TV with 13 episodes. So, like, no one's submitting Game of Thrones as a miniseries.
Even though, even though technically it could, obviously. Yeah. I don't know. Just food for thought. They might have to start getting stricter with that whole thing. But one of the biggest problems with the Emmys, though, is, like, once you classify yourself as something, you can't change.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So...
Oh, is that why, like, Orange is the New Black was, like, comedy in the first year? And then after that, people were like, it's not funny.
Yeah. It doesn't. Yeah. It's exactly the problem. It should not be a comedy at all. But they thought that it would... stand a better chance of winning awards.
Yeah.
That's the problem. There needs to be a way that they get pickier about people classifying things. Anyway, moving on. So, Rampage opened this weekend.
Oh.
And apparently it is actually going to be number one at the box office.
Yeah, I heard it. It snuck up on Quiet Place and took number one.
Yeah, at the end of yesterday they were saying Quiet Place was going to win, but then today they're like, oh no, never mind. Apparently, some people told their friends to go see it, which, why would you do that?
Right.
Why would you torture your friends that way?
Oh, no!
No, it's not terrible.
Tell me what Rampage is?
Rampage is the Dwayne The Rock Johnson movie, and it's based on a video game.
He's in, like, 500 movies right now. Is that the one with the giant white gorilla?
Yes. It's based on a video game, which apparently it is now the highest growing video game movie. Like, or the, at least for the first weekend. I don't know. I can't remember what exactly. It's also the highest rated on Rotten Tomatoes, I think. But it's at 55%, which is still green. So, which is still rotten.
Oh, it's now, well, I just checked. It looks like it's at 50 now. It looks like it's gone down.
Oh, so it's probably dropped. So maybe it's not anymore.
Yeah, because I remember that tweet saying, like, it'll be the highest rated video game.
If it continues the way it is, which... The bad ones always come in at the end, so I don't know why they said that.
Yeah, and then Dwayne, or The Rock, was like, well, I did star in the stinker Doom, so I deserve this.
And then
the Doom Twitter.
And then the Doom Twitter responded with Dwayne. That was great.
But yeah, now, see, it used to be fresh, barely hanging on at 53, and now it's rotten at 50, so.
It's funny, because I went to the premiere with a friend, and we had just been talking about how the only reason that Legends of Tomorrow works for people is because it doesn't take itself seriously and it just embraced the ridiculousness. And then we watched that and I turned to her and I was like, and this is the case in point of something that takes itself seriously.
Right.
Because it's just, it's not terrible. I have seen much, much worse movies. It's middling. I mean, the cast is fine. Mm-hmm. Mostly I enjoyed watching, Jeffrey Dean Morgan be Jeffrey Dean Morgan, because he plays himself in everything he's ever in. But that's enjoyable, so he's fun. Naomi Harris is fine, although all I could think was, man, did she win the Oscar, or did she just get nominated for the Oscar for Moonlight? I was like, you could do better than this.
I think she just got nominated.
Okay. I was like, you can do better than this, man. But, yeah, it was just, I don't know, it's stupid. George is funny, though.
Yeah.
George is very, like, they did the characterization of the gorilla, which is incredibly important. Yeah, so they got him right. Okay, so he's fun and funny, so at least that's believable.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know, it felt like it was taking itself way too seriously.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, I don't know, I think it seems like a common thread with video game movies, that they're, like, trying too hard, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, people aren't, I know that gamers and, like, fanboys, like, take their games really seriously, but the games themselves are not supposed to.
I guess I don't count because I'm a girl, so I'm just a fake geek girl.
Obviously.
I'm a gamer, and I don't take it that seriously.
Yeah, no, exactly. I'm a gamer, too, and I don't take it seriously, but that's because we are women, so we know what is serious and what is not, apparently. I don't know what the reason is. That's not the real reason. Obviously, there are women who take it seriously, and obviously there are men that don't.
Yeah.
But it seems like there's a very specific subset of men that game that take it way too seriously, and that's where the
but
people...
But a game like whatever that's based on, too, like, really? Like...
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's about mutant animals who just go on the rampage, and, like, yeah, I mean, it's
trying to be
it's just
the apes, but it's
no, it's not. It's not that serious. It's just cartoonish, and the way that the villain dies, everybody when I was in the theater, everybody was like, "Oh my god!" and then like freaking out and mm-hmm. clapping, and I was like, "They literally telegraphed that for the last 3 minutes. It was obvious what was going to happen to her." It does have a female villain. I don't know if that
there you go.
That's a good thing, but. I can't remember what else she's been in, but that actress drove me nuts. But yeah, it's just silly. And it doesn't think it's silly enough.
Yeah.
I think to an extent it knows it is, but then it's like, no, they're playing it really serious. You know,
so you've got to have the right amount of self-awareness.
Yeah, it's not there.
That's funny.
So I can't recommend it, but...
Yeah.
But I guess if all you want to watch is giant animals destroy things, then this is your movie.
Speaking of, I did, I'm not going to talk very much about this movie because it's not a big movie. I don't even know if you can see it. Like, you can get tickets. I know you can get tickets. I don't know where they're showing it or why they would. But Crystal is this, like, indie movie directed by William H. Macy that stars Nick Robinson. And it just got it, like, it just randomly got a release date, like, this weekend. Because, I know it's because Nick Robinson was in Love, Simon, and everyone was raving it. So, like, oh, I guess let's put out this other Nick Robinson movie. But, oh my god, it is so bad. I don't understand how William H. Macy, first of all, saw this script and was like, yes, I want to make a movie out of this script.
Oh, god.
It's so, like, it doesn't, it's like a pastiche of, like, different half-baked ideas. Like, maybe it's a movie about a dude that wanted to be a poet and couldn't, and, like, maybe it's a movie about a sick kid who wants to, like, live his life the fullest, and maybe it's a movie about how Rosario Dawson can sometimes play a stripper. Like, I don't know what this movie is about.
Oh, Matt's in, because Rosario Dawson's in
it. Yeah, she is in it, and she and her, the person playing her son, were the best part of the movie, but, like, in terms of acting, because, like, they're actually acting like they're in a series, like, in a movie, and everyone else is, like, has these awful southern accents that someone made them use with a gun to their head, and they're all really bad at it. Oh, and it also, like, Kathy Bates is also there and, like, randomly has cancer, so, like,
okay,
thank you.
Because let's just throw in the older woman with cancer into everything. It makes, like, everything better, right?
Nothing. The movie doesn't make sense. Anyway, poor Nick Robinson. I hope that he doesn't have to promote this movie, because he was doing so well in Love, Simon. He should just stay with that and then not mention the other
Which
one.
Which I still haven't seen, and I really want to.
Yes, you need to.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. I have not had time.
It's the first movie I ever went by myself to see in the theater.
Oh, you went by yourself?
Like, I'm going to go see Love, Simon, and I didn't. There were, like, three other people in the theater, because it was, like, 9 a.m. on a Friday morning, so there's nobody in there. And we were like, aw. It was nice.
Oh, yes,
we had a good time.
Yeah, it made me very happy. I'm very glad.
So you need to go see it again to, like, cleanse yourself of the crystal.
Exactly. Go see it again, but that's
remember
right.
That he's...
You can act. Anyway, on to a better movie.
The one that didn't beat Rampage this weekend, even though it probably should have.
Didn't beat Rampage was A Quiet Place, although it did get first place last weekend. Yeah, so I don't think either of you guys have seen it, right?
No.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, I knew it was going to be good, just, like, from the trailers. Like, it looked really interesting, and I love John Krasinski and Emily Blunt, but I wasn't expecting it to be, I guess, as good as it was, or, like, as serious as it was, because I always think of John Krasinski as Jim from The Office.
Yeah.
Sadly, but
he will forever be Jim. I didn't even watch The Office, and he's still Jim from The Office.
Like, the number of memes that are him from The Office holding up the, like, no one has said a word for 16 minutes sign for A Quiet Place. Accurate. But, I thought it was, I'm not a big fan of, like, horror usually either. Like, it has to be, like, the right kind of horror, which this was.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of, like, building the suspense and, like, not about gore. I don't like gore. I don't like slasher movies.
Yeah.
I much prefer a quiet fear. So, yeah. But what was surprising to me is that he directed the movie, and he got such brilliant performances out of the younger cast, the two kids.
Yeah.
Because, like, obviously Emily Blunt's gonna do great no matter what. So that doesn't count. But both of the kids were really good. And I know that the girl who's she is actually a deaf actress.
Uh-huh.
And she was in Wonder, I think it was. Okay. And she was already had done a really good job in that, so everyone was raving her performance. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad she got another opportunity in this movie.
But he made a big point of
That he wanted a deaf actress. Yeah. And I also saw a lot of people being like, oh, there's almost no dialogue in this movie. And I was like, okay, but there was a lot of sign language. So I feel like you are confused about what dialogue is. But anyway.
There's not a lot of people speaking in this movie.
There's not a lot of sound in the movie.
Because even speaking, it is still speaking. Yeah, there you go.
But yeah, no, it was really good. And I think there was like a couple of logical fallacies in the movie that I didn't even really think about while watching because I was so invested. Mm-hmm. But like afterward, I'm like, would that really work like that? Like, I don't think so. But no more than in any other movie. So, yeah. But one thing I was going to say about it that I thought was, I don't know if you guys have noticed this, and I saw a lot of people talking about it online, like a lot of celebrities were promoting this movie. Like,
yeah, I saw Chris Evans tweet about it yesterday,
telling you to watch it in the theaters and stuff. It didn't feel natural. I was like, who paid them to do this? Like, is this like the new marketing strategy? Is that what's going on?
Don't they have to say if it's a...
Do they on Twitter? Like, I know they do on Instagram.
On Instagram, they have
you
to
do,
say.
You have to do it on Instagram.
That's true.
I don't know about Twitter.
Twitter's going to have to introduce those rules, then.
Yeah, because I was like, this is a little... Like, unless they all... Like, I literally, at first, someone brought it up, and I was like, well, do they all just want to be in John Krasinski's next movie? I was like, no.
They're really good friends with the guy. Maybe,
yeah, they're all his best friend. They all want you to see his movie.
Well, like, Chris Evans, when he tweeted it, I was like, when did you have time to go see it? You're doing a play on Broadway.
Yeah, right?
But, I mean, I guess.
Yeah, I guess he could have just, like, right after, you know.
Or early in the morning before the show, I guess is possible, but.
Sure. Yeah, they sent him a screener. I don't know. Yeah,
they probably did.
But yeah, it was really funny to me. I was like, that's a good marketing strategy, I assume.
I mean, it is. You see your favorite actor or actress like something, it tends to make you be like, and especially if you see enough of them.
Right. Because like with the other stuff, like a lot of other sort of viral marketing type thing, or not really viral, but like the ones that are like word of mouth stuff, like Get Out, even Black Panther to an extent, like obviously they had their amazing marketing, but like everyone's telling everyone to go see it.
Yes.
But you see it coming from like the general audience, I guess. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
As opposed to like literally every verified account telling you to see this movie.
Yeah, that is a little awkward.
Anyway. That's all. You should still see it.
They know a lot of people.
Yeah.
And they're all friends. And they're like, can you tell people to go see my movie?
There you go. Just doing favors.
I'd encourage people to go see yours, but everybody and their mother's going to go see Infinity War, so I don't need to do that.
Exactly. I will tweet, about Infinity War, and you will tweet about Quiet Place.
Which, by the way, I saw something saying that they, right now, okay, so pre-sales on Infinity War exceed pre-sales for the last 7 Marvel movies combined.
What?
Yes.
Seriously, I hadn't seen that. That's crazy.
That's insane. Because Black Panther had a lot of pre-sales.
Yeah.
But apparently the last 7 combined, it exceeds them.
Whoa.
And they are actually saying that it looks like it might beat The Force Awakens opening weekend. Which would be nice.
You know a really good metric to tell about that? Because I live in this little, like, rural suburban area, and I go to see movies at 9 o'clock on Friday morning because Alexis is cool, but the theaters only open that early on Fridays.
Uh-huh.
Every Marvel movie I've gone to see this year on opening day, but at 9:30, it's been pretty empty in there. Like Black Panther was pretty empty, Thor was pretty empty, but Star Wars was packed.
Yeah.
And I always buy my tickets in advance, but I wouldn't have needed to for Thor or Black Panther. So we'll have to see with Infinity War whether or not it's packed, because I feel like that's like a good, I'm not middle America, I'm Maryland, but like it's a good, like,
right? Yeah, if it's like a small, like, sleepy.
We had a hard time.
I mean, it was.
Go ahead.
It was crazy to me the number of my friends who were asking me about going to Black Panther, like friends who have never seen a Star Wars, who have never like watched a Marvel movie.
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised by how much was sold out for Black Panther too.
Yeah, we could not get tickets to the Chinese, even though it was all 2D. We couldn't get it for opening day.
Yeah.
Infinity War, we were having a hard time getting tickets to the Chinese, like, a week later, in a good spot. So, already.
Yeah.
That's, like, weeks ago. Usually, that can happen, but usually, if you're going in the middle of the day, on a Saturday, the weekend after, you can get tickets pretty easy. But, no, there was already a lot of people, or a lot of seats sold out. A fair amount, so. We'll see. Anyway, I just want something to beat Star Wars, because now I'm like, screw you. I'm probably not going to get to see Solo in theaters. Like,
get to.
Opening, well, half exactly. Well, I'm probably not going to get to see it with lining up for opening night because I'm probably going to be working. And I was like, you know, I'm okay with that. And if I don't see it with them, I'm probably not going to end up seeing it.
Oh.
In like, I'll watch it when it's on HBO or something.
I honestly. I don't think I'm going to Solo.
I'm not planning.
Or Lando, as all my friends are calling it.
Lando? As it should be.
Was the most recent Solo trailer had more Lando went in, and I was like, damn it, like, I didn't care.
They're trying.
I didn't care for a second, but no.
Yeah.
No. Like.
He's the only thing that might compel me to see it, but probably not going to be enough, because I'm going to guess he's not in it as much as you want him to be, so I'll just be like, eh.
That's true.
Yeah. Anyway.
And it'll be, they'll do fine. They don't need us.
Yeah, they don't need us. They're going to make lots of money anyway. So, anyway, I think that is it for this week.
Oh, yeah.
Which is really, the next one that's going to be up is the same week.
But this is it for half this week.
This is it for the first half of this week. Now, Tatiana and I get to watch Doctor Strange and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Yeah.
And record another podcast.
And Valerie is wearing the shirt for that.
And I'm wearing a Guardian shirt, and I didn't even do it on purpose. It's not even a Guardian shirt. It's a Guardians Volume 2 shirt.
Yeah.
Because it's from very specific. It's from the premiere in London. Yeah.
Her fashion sense knew.
I knew without even, you know. I was thinking Marvel, but not that that's one of the movies we were going to watch today. But anyway. All right. So thank you for joining us. As always, withanaccent.com for news, reviews, interviews, editorials, all that good stuff. The YouTube is at withanaccentTV. And the Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, Instagram, etc. are all at withanaccent. And then the podcast is at Pop a la carte pod. Thanks for joining us. See you later.
Bye.